I wish I can be reading from Ted's transcript, but this is what the Lord has shown me. So the title of today's message is Come and Join Me. Come and Join Me. If you go to the next slide, December of 2015, I come home and there's a big package written to Ted and Sandy from Eastern Pennsylvania. I don't know anyone from Eastern Pennsylvania, but I realized who it was. This old elderly grandmother decided to send us a package of books. And there were two sets of at least like 10 of these books, The Circle Maker and Draw the Circle. Anyone seen these books? Some of you. And she wrote on paper, cursive, I am sending you books you might find helpful for your church. It has revived me and my church. It's interesting because right before that week, I had another friend send me a whole bunch of books, and I was just too many books in my house that I wasn't sure whether to read it or not. But I picked up The Circle Maker, and I was skimming through, and I realized it was a story of a pastor who had a vision or who received a vision from God to plant churches in the D.C. area. And it was filled with stories after stories of how God was expanding the church planting endeavor in D.C. And this was a time when 25 of us from the San Jose church was gathering once a month to prepare for what is now called New Vine. And I thought, wow, I'm going to read this book because it's inspiring faith in me as we launch a new church plant from our San Jose campus. Now, who is the Circle Maker? There was a man in first century, a Jewish scholar, first century BC, and he was known as the Rainmaker or eventually the Circle Maker. And there was a season during that time when there was a heavy drought in the land. And so they called this Rainmaker Honi. They knocked on his door and said, we remember you and we're going through another season of drought. Can you come and pray for rain to be showered down? So he gets on the floor and he draws a full circle and he sticks his body in there. And he said, God, I'm going to stay in this circle until you rain down from heaven, until you bring water and stop the drought. And slowly, this is the legend of Honi the Circle Maker, okay? Slowly, there's water dripping down from heaven. And the people started complaining, that's not enough water. So he stays in that circle and he prayed, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. And then the sprinkle turned into heavy rain, storms, and thunder. And then the people said, that's too much rain now. And so Honi changed his prayer around. He said, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness. And the story ends that there was a cool shower on a hot summer day, and the rain just kept coming down peacefully. And so that day, people witnessed a miracle through the Circle Maker. And I thought, how appropriate that this elderly grandmother, who had no idea what we're doing, sends this package of books to me. And I felt like God was saying, this is a book for what is now called New Vine, not knowing that there was so much more he had in store. January 6th of this year, I have decided to go on a 40-day journey of fasting and praying. So some of you know how much our family loves meat and animal food. I have cut out all animal products, snacking, and all that good stuff for 40 days. Today marks day 22. It's been an amazing journey of just setting aside time in my life, cutting out things that crowd my body and my mind to really ask the Lord to speak to me. There's some personal and ministry things that are happening for me and Ted this year. And so at the close of last year, I really felt the Lord saying, you need to enter this year into a season of fasting and praying. Don't live casually anymore. You need to really open your ears to hear my message for you and the church. I'm going to have all of us stand up. We're going to read Matthew chapter 14, 22 and 33. So Bal, just keep flipping through the slides and then we're eventually going to go back to the original slide. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. As soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and to go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowds dispersed, Jesus went up into the hills to pray, and as night fell, he was there praying alone with God. But the disciples, who were now in the middle of the lake, ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by the high winds and heavy seas. At about 4 in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the waves. Saw him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed, "A ghost!" Then Jesus said, "Be brave and don't be afraid. I am here." Peter shouted out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." "Come and join me," Jesus replied. So Peter stepped out onto the water and began to walk toward Jesus. But when he realized how high the waves were, he became frightened and started to sink. "Save me, Lord," he cried out. All right. I guess that's it. Okay, let's sit down. We come to the point in Matthew when the disciples had just fed like thousands of people with the 2 fish and 5 loaves. And he sends his disciples out onto the boat and he goes and prays. And it says that the disciples were now in the middle of the lake troubled by the high waves. And so here's Jesus early in the morning walking on the water. I think a lot of you are familiar with this story, and we just conclude this story saying, what a foolish man, Peter. You know, he's just abrasive and harsh. And what is he thinking that he can walk on water? But as I was reading this passage this week, God gave me a totally different perspective of what was happening. And this all ties in with some of the things that I want to share with you that I've been learning during this season of praying and fasting. When the disciples saw something, they eventually labeled it as what? A ghost. What God started showing me was sometimes when we see the supernatural things of the Lord, Jesus walking on water, we are so scared. So we try to calculate with our own human reasoning, just as the disciples did on the boat. And they just, all they can imagine was that it's a ghost. They could not filter out what their human mind can only rationalize and realize that something supernatural was happening. That Jesus himself, who had just performed all these amazing things, was showing yet another dimension of his supernatural authority and power over creation. Fear gripped them. Fear overtook them. The unfamiliar was trying to be rationalized by their human reasoning. How many times have we succumbed to just figuring things out with our human mind because we just cannot understand and explain the supernatural, mysterious ways of the Lord? How often have we tried to put what God is doing into our limited box, our human limited understanding and mind, not really asking the Lord, who are you? What are you able to do? And Peter sees this and he shouts out, "Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water." And at this point in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, Peter had been an eyewitness of numerous things that the Lord has done. I'm going to just list them. Starting from chapter 8, he saw with his own physical eyes Jesus healing a leper. Chapter 8, 5 through 13. He saw Jesus healing the centurion's servant. After that, he sees Jesus healing his own mother-in-law. After that, he sees Jesus calming the wind and the waves. This is when the storm is happening and Jesus is sleeping calmly on the violent storm on the boat. After that, chapter 8, verse 28, Peter sees Jesus casting out demons, sending all those demons to the herd of pigs. Chapter 9, Peter sees Jesus healing the paralytic man. After that, Peter sees Jesus healing the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, and he also sees Jesus healing the 12-year-old girl. Moving on to chapter 9, Jesus heals 2 blind men and the demon-possessed man. In chapter 10, Jesus gathered his disciples, who blessed them with authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease. And then we come to chapter 14, where Peter is an eyewitness of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Can you imagine? Peter's an eyewitness of all these amazing things, and Jesus is so close, and they're in this boat. And I'm wondering if Peter finally said, you know what? I want to experience it for myself. I don't want to just be a bystander and just see and be an eyewitness. I want to experience the supernatural myself. And I feel like Peter, something stirred in him saying, I want to experience it too. And so that he was able to say, Jesus, tell me, command me to join you on the water. You hear the cry. Some versions say, tell me to join you on the water. Other versions say, command me, Jesus. Command me to get on the water with you. He wanted to believe beyond his own human thinking that it was not just a ghost, but it was Jesus himself in his full authority and power. Today, God is asking us, do you want to experience the supernatural life? Do you want to experience what you hear of what Jesus is doing across the world? What Jesus is doing here in the midst of New Vine, what Jesus has done for Kidani? We hear this miraculous story and we think, oh, it doesn't happen in the United States. It doesn't happen in San Jose. It only happens on the other side of the world. But today, I think God is inviting us, do you really want to experience it for yourself? And he's asking you to say, command me, Jesus, to walk on that water with you. I've been reading through the Passion Translation. And so this is the only translation that interprets Jesus' response to Peter by saying, come and join me. All the other Bible versions just say, come. But the Passion Translation was written very recently by a group of writers who really try to understand the original language, but has written the Bible through the eyes of the Father loving his children. It's like a love letter. And so the words that they choose is just really heartfelt. And this phrase just jumped out at me this week. Come and join me. Come and join me. And that's God's invitation to all of you. As we say, God, I want to experience you in such a different way, in a supernatural way. I want to not just be an eyewitness, but I want to be part of that miracle. Jesus is actually inviting all of you and say, come and join me. Come and join me in walking on that water. I am actively working in and through you. You just need to open your eyes and see what I am able to do and what you are able to do. And Peter did it. He stepped out into the water and he was walking toward Jesus. And so many people think, oh, what a foolish Peter, because what happened next? He started to drown. But how many disciples in that boat actually experienced the supernatural of walking on the water? Just one, Peter. What happened next was he realized how the waves were high. He became frightened and started to sink. And he cried out, save me, Lord. I'm going to show you a picture. I love this picture. I shared it in San Jose campus a while ago. Let's read this, okay? 1, 2, 3. It's evidence appearing real. The enemy's greatest strategy against God's children is to make you believe that he is more powerful than God. He's speaking words of lies, accusation, threats to destroy us. The enemy's goal is to kill, steal, and destroy God's children, causing us fear so that we live in shame and we live in bondage. Just as Peter was walking towards Jesus and all of a sudden he was gripped with fear. Yes, the storm was there. Yes, he had every reason to be frightened, and he let that make him sink. Today, we have to ask, what reality are we going to choose to live in? Are we going to choose to live in the reality that the enemy is portraying to us, which is full of fear and intimidation and lies? Or are we going to walk into the reality that God has for us, where Jesus says, I am in absolute control. I am here for you. My presence is here for you. Today, as we choose and desire to walk in that supernatural realm of what Christ is able to do, what are the high waves and what are the storms that could easily make us sink and go down? As Peter cried out, save me, Lord, Jesus is also a very compassionate God. He immediately reaches out to Peter's hand, holds him and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Today, Jesus understands. He understands that as we try to join him in walking and living a supernatural, victorious life, that we are still human. We are going to fail. We are going to succumb to the fear and the storms around us. And his compassion is shown to us again and again. He keeps pulling us out. He says, "I understand you've fallen again, but I'm going to keep pulling you out. Why do you keep doubting? Why do you keep doubting?" And so often we allow the failures of disappointing Jesus keep us under that water, keeps us in that place of sinking, when Jesus is actually pulling our hand and saying, "Just come out. I understand you. I understand the doubts and the fear that you have, but just allow me to reach out and pull you out." And it says in Matthew chapter 14, 32 and 33, "At that very moment, they both stepped into the water, into the boat, and the raging wind ceased." Jesus, even after the doubt and the failure of Peter, shows himself again that he is in absolute control. The winds ceased. God's grace continues to be showered over us again and again and again. And he chooses to continue to show us as a God who is in absolute control. And how did all the disciples respond? They bowed down and worshiped and said, "You are truly the Son of God." In the midst of the storm, in the midst of courage, in the midst of fear, we end the day worshiping. There are three things that I want to share with you as I'm going through the season of praying and fasting. Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The life of prayer is really just delighting ourselves in the Lord, delighting ourselves in God's word, in God's ways, what's important to him. And as we align our lives and our minds and our hearts, God actually pours out his desires into our hearts and filters out the things that are not pleasing to him. There's three things that I've been learning during this journey. And all of them comes with, "Come and join me." Jesus's invitation, "Come and join me." The first one is, "Come and join me to see a bigger picture of what I'm doing in your life." Kind of like an eagle's view, an aerial view of your entire life, a bird's eye view. And Jesus is saying, "I have given you a name, I've given you a purpose, I have given you a unique story. Come and discover what that is by surrendering your life into a life of prayer." As we pray, it heightens our awareness of who God is. It enables us to see the realities of what God is doing in our lives. Do you really believe that God has an amazing plan for each of your life? It's not amazing because it's going to be full of just great heights and mountaintop experience. It's amazing because God designed it for you. And I realize that so much of our life is going to be full of suffering and hardship, many times of sorrow and sadness. But the amazing thing is that God has designed a unique story for each of us. And so often we get so stuck in the here and now when life gets hard that sometimes God's saying, "Just pray to me, pray with me. I'm going to lift you up to see this aerial view of what your life looks like." I have a picture of two boats. So many of you may not know the story, but Ted and I came to San Jose March of 2002 as missionary interns with the Alliance. And our goal was to be here for 2 years, get our experience and internship as missionary candidates, eventually to be sent out to China as Alliance missionaries. But every year, the door kept being closed for us to go overseas. And around 2007, when there was an economic crisis, the Alliance was actually bringing back missionaries. And that was the last time they called us, saying, "This is our last invitation for you to go out. You take it. If you don't take it, we're going to have to remove your name from our missionary list." And during that time, we got a very vivid picture of like a paddle boat. And God spoke to us saying, do you want to live your life on a paddle boat, trying to row your way all the way to China to fulfill your missionary dream? Or do you want to get on like this cruise ship, just smooth sailing, because you're going to allow God, me, to be the driver? And the picture was such a stark contrast of God saying, what kind of life are you going to choose for yourself? One that's going to keep working hard to prove that you can reach your own ambition and dreams? Or are you going to release all control over what you thought was good for you and join me in my cruise ship? All you got to do is just join, but it may go the other way. Are you willing to do that? And I'm glad after 17 years that we are still here on God's cruise ship, and he's actually riding the waves for us, and it's been an amazing journey. The Bible reminds us in John chapter 16, 33, Jesus says, I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. The story that God has for each of us, only God knows what it is. And if some of you are going through a season of difficulties and mysteries of life, and God, what are you up to? Ask the Lord, I want to understand what you're doing in my life. Give me an aerial view of what you're doing in my life. And I'm just going to read some quotes that I've been reading this season. It says, God does not waste our sufferings, our hardships, our challenges. Ask God to allow you to see him through all this. A.W. Tozer, he was actually an Alliance pastor. He wrote this quote. What then are we to do about our problems? We must learn to live with them until such a time as God delivers us from them. If we cannot remove them, then we must pray for grace to endure them without murmuring. Problems patiently endured will work for our spiritual perfecting. They harm us only when we resist them or endure them unwillingly. Hardships, problems will harm us only when we resist them or endure them unwillingly. The second thing I've been learning about prayer, Jesus is saying, come and join me to receive the assignments I have for you. Come and join me in receiving the daily assignments I have for you, but assignments from season to season. Psalm 48 says, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Every day, I get the privilege of sitting before God, spending time in his word, receiving God's instructions, putting it on my heart, and I ask the Lord, what is your assignment for me today from your word? How are you asking me to live my life today? Who am I supposed to talk to today? And open my eyes to see any divine appointments or interventions that you have for my life. Help me to be in tune with what you're doing. Back in 2006, Ted and I went through a 40-day fast. He literally was fasting food. He just drank liquid. He lost 40 pounds, gained it all back. For me, I was a new mom. I had two little kids, and I was like, I can't fast food. And I asked the Lord, when am I supposed to fast? And he's like, fast sleep. And I said, God, I'm a new mom. Moms are supposed to sleep. We already don't have enough sleep. And God said, just watch me. You're going to fast sleep. The first day of the 40-day fasting and prayer challenge that our church in San Jose went through, I didn't even turn on the alarm. I wake up and it's 5 a.m. The sun hasn't even come up. In my entire life, I have never woken up so early. For 40 days straight, without an alarm clock, God woke me up at 5 in the morning. So I thought, okay, God, I get it. You want me to seek you first in the morning. And I'll figure out the rest of the day when my kids are wanting a piece of me, I'm going to ask you for supernatural strength. And during this 40-day fast, 13 years ago, God woke me up at 3 a.m. with an angelic encounter. I'll tell you another time. It's too long. But this actually changed the course of our life and our ministry. It was a very vivid dream and encounter that I had. And it was literally God just downloading an assignment he had for our lives about how we are going to raise our children and the direction of our life and ministry. And it was through this season in 2011 that God opened up a preschool at the San Jose campus that I was a part of. And God has been just downloading assignment after assignment, day to day, and from season to season. And just some quotes that I'm going to read to you. God is in the business of strategically positioning us at the right place, at the right time. It's up to us to see and seize these opportunities that are all around us all the time. Prayer changes the trajectory of our lives because we position ourselves according to God's perfect will. I'm going to invite our sister Vivian. I was telling a few sisters about this 40-day fast, asking for prayer, and she's like, I have to join you. So today's day 22 of our fast, right? So she's going to just share what the Lord has been speaking to her and her family.
Thank you. Okay, so like when Sandy asked me to share, I was like thinking, sure, okay, I can share something. Yeah, but you know, I felt that, and I've been just thinking about what to share and asking God, what does he want me to share? And I think you can talk to Eric. I was like, even till like this morning, I was like, what am I gonna share? But you know, God is really faithful, and he answered and really, yeah, just gave me something to share. So what he told me to share is that why I'm fasting. And the verse that he gave me was, with him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So that is why I am seeking the Lord. Because have you ever been shaken, like so scared that you shake, like your body literally is shaking? Like, I get shaken when I'm standing in front of a big group of people, like now. I can really hide it by, like, holding onto this mic for my dear life. Like, if I let go, I'm going to fall and drown. Yeah. And I've also been shaken when we went to Portland, like, just recently for Thanksgiving. And we drove. This was my first time driving to Portland. It's about 13 hours. And you drive through the mountains. And we were driving through the mountains at night. And Eric was driving. And he drives the curvy part. And I'm so scared. There's a big truck. Slow down. Like holding on to the door. Holding on to my seat. Okay, closing my eyes. I was so scared. Yeah, I'm not sure if you ever felt that way, but, you know, God just showed me that when we're scared, we want to hold on to something. And, you know, it reminds me of like, you know, like when we hold on to something, we feel somewhat not as scared. And, you know, some of the things I hold on to is not God, and I'm still shaking, you know, but God's just telling me to hold on to him and I won't shake. And like he also showed me the picture of babies. If you ever seen babies, like really young babies, they clench their fists like this. So if you're ever scared, even as an adult, you can just clench your fist and you're going to like feel less scared. Just try it. Like if you ever have to give like a presentation at work or at school, just hold on to yourself, like, or hold on to a pencil, or hold on to your scarf. Like, that's what babies do. Like, I have two kids, and I just remember when they were young, they clenched their fists, and I didn't know why. But now, just, you know, now that they're almost 8 and 6 and a half, now I know why they clenched their fists, because they were scared. And now, as a little, like, kid, when they get scared, they just stand by my side. And even if they're not scared, they just like to stand next to me. And I think just being next to your mommy, you're not scared. So for us, like God's saying, I'm at your right hand. So then I won't be scared. And I'm just learning like how to like stand next to him. And I think it's during this time of like seeking God and just like, okay, God, you know, I'm going to spend time in your word. You know, in the beginning, like, I felt like, you know, I felt like for the past 2 years, I've just been like seeking the Lord. Okay, trying my, you know, best to like, okay, I'm going to offer up this time to you. Okay, I'm going to wake up. And because if I don't do it in the morning, my kids is going to distract me too much that there's no way I can focus. And my, you know, my time with the Lord will be so many interruptions that it would not even be like, you know, really a good conversation with a friend. Like, you're talking to them and all of a sudden you have your kids interrupt you. And yeah, so I knew that the morning time was my best time. And even though it was hard, and then but I just woke up, I could be like trying to open my eyes. And yeah, but you know, I feel like after 2 years, I'm starting to feel like, okay, I can hear a little bit better. Yeah, so let me see, what am I talking about? Okay, what makes you so scared? Okay, why do you hold on? Okay, so sorry, I'm just reading my short note. And okay, so I recently started the 40-day fast with Sandy and I think another sister also. And I really felt that God was saying and prompting me to enter this fast. I've never fasted anything before. And I felt like God was saying, fast meat. I was like, oh, or Daniel fast. Oh, that means no meat. Oh, can I have milk? He's like, yes. Can I have cheese? Yes. Can I have eggs? Yes. Okay, I think I can do this. Because at first I'm like, I'm on a pre-diabetic diet because I had gestational diabetes. So then, you know, to fast meat is like, for me, it's like my dinner because I can't eat carbs and the other part is vegetables and meat. So I eat a ton of meat and I love meat if you ever saw me eating. Yeah, so, but God is just telling me that, you know, I can do this. So I just trusted him and did this. And the main reason why I felt he was prompting me to do this was our family is entering also like this season where we feel God is leading us in a different direction, maybe to do more for him and to not just work for the world, but to really give more of ourselves and our talents to building God's kingdom. And not just the kingdom of the world. Like right now, I'm a stay-at-home mom and Eric works for my parents. So he's helping my parents build the Lamb dynasty. So, and they're enjoying their dynasty. And it's just really good. You know, they share their blessing and we also are inheritance of that. So I think that, you know, we feel that maybe, you know, it's time that God is saying, hey, you know, let that go and do something for his kingdom. And we're just seeking God for his direction. Yeah, and to walk in this territory of not really certain where he's leading us. But there's a first step that we need to take. And I think, so we feel that with God, we won't feel afraid. Yeah, we won't feel afraid to fail. We won't feel afraid that we're going on our own. You know, we won't feel afraid to leave what we know behind. And we won't be afraid. And also claim God's promised land for us. So that's it.
Thank you, Eric, for allowing her to share about your family. The last thing I wanted to share with you about what I'm learning about prayer is that Jesus is inviting us to come and join him to face the storms in our life. A couple of years ago, I had to pull up my old text with one of my crazy friends. She's a crazy intercessory friend. In February of 2016, 3 years ago, our church in San Jose hired a new youth pastor. And he was coming from South Africa, and he was married to a Nigerian. And her date of birth, her exact name and birthplace matched somebody in the Boko Haram terrorist group. So she was denied access to the U.S. by Homeland Security. But we all had an agreement in the spirit that he was supposed to come and serve at our church, he and the entire family. And so this is right after I got those books in the mail, and I texted one day. I was texting Grace, that's her name, because God spoke to me saying, I know the church has been praying for her visa to be, the blockage to be removed, but I'm asking you, Sandy, to enter into a season of praying and fasting for her. And I felt the responsibility, like, I'll do it, God, but what if it doesn't work? And just rationalizing, and God just said, just do it. And so I texted her, and I said, I know we've never met, and I've never even gone through this prayer challenge with this Draw the Circle book, but are you willing to join me in the next 40 days to pray for your visa blockage? And we said yes. So just imagine, South Africa, Cape Town is 10 hours ahead of US, so we were literally circling each other in prayer over what we call the Jericho Wall. And we're just, you know, sharing what God has been downloading to us every day. When I wake up, she's already sent me something. When I go to sleep, she gets my message in the morning, and we just felt like this, we've been circling this visa situation in prayer. Come day 38, and there's absolutely no word from Homeland Security. And so God just said, hey, call your friend Irene and ask her to walk around the Homeland Security, because she lives in DC. She works for the Department of Defense, and she's an intercessor. I had to just go back to remember what exactly happened 3 years ago. So I decided to take a screenshot. Luckily, I still have all the texts. So if you go to the next one, I'm going to read it to you, okay? It's dated. You'll see February 26th. I wrote to her 2 days before the day 40. Do you live near Homeland Security building? Please don't think about all the spelling errors, okay? I'm not sure where it is. The blue one is me. Okay, I wanted to ask if you can do a quick prayer circle around the building, praying for release of a visa situation that is a standstill for many years. Yes, I will. I will look it up and find where it is. The next day. Thank you. It's supposed to be a 40-day fast, not dirty, dry fast, whatever. I'm doing a 40-day fast for this to be lifted, but nothing. Tomorrow is the last day of the fast, and God showed me a picture of you as his intercessor to finish up this circle of prayer. Let me know. So she says, of course, I can do it today or tomorrow. The headquarters? I think there are several buildings in town when I looked on the map. So I respond, awesome. If you can do that, it would be amazing. It's a department that issues visas. Pray specifically for Grace Sampson Song, her visa application to be processed. It has been blocked for a couple of years because her name and date of birth matches someone from the Boko Haram group. Her husband started serving at our church as youth pastor. He has been traveling back and forth from South Africa. This has been very difficult for them. Thank you. Okay, I remember you mentioning this before. If you can do a prophetic act of circling around the building by foot or car 7 times around like the wall of Jericho, I will walk or run. Thank you. Please take a picture of the building and send it to me also. Okay, thanks. I think I'll go after church tomorrow and I'll text the picture of the building. I'll text the picture of the building. So the last day, February 28th, early in the morning, before, as I wake up, Grace is going to sleep. And she texts me saying, we're done for me. It's day 40. I hope my Jericho wall will come down, but this has been good, you know, all that stuff. And then I wake up. I'm like, God, this is day 40. Like, where have you been? Has this been a waste of our time? It's been great to have a new friend, but you have not done anything. And I get this text from Irene. This is February 28th, 7:14 a.m. Sandy, I was not able to walk around 7 times around due to the nature of the building. So I walked and drove by the main entrance of the building 7 times. I couldn't take a picture of the building because we can't take pictures of government buildings. Anyway, as I was driving to the building, I felt the Holy Spirit's presence, specifically for the intercessory prayer for Grace, prayed for immediate release and processing. Today's Psalm passage, so appropriate for this prayer assignment. Love you. And she sends me her GPS phone picture of Homeland Security. So this is Sunday morning. The day's starting. I'm feeling defeated. Like, not what a waste of time, but really what a waste of time, God, for 40 days. I get to church, and I get to church around 8:30, and we're getting ready for Sunday worship. And Ted said, honey, I want you to come sit down. So I sit down. And he said, what day of the fast are you? I said, day 40. And he's like, I need you to sit down, and I have an envelope for you. So he gives me the envelope, and I'm like, this is so strange. Things like this don't happen on a Sunday morning. And the first thing I read on the sender is United States Homeland Security. And I just knew right away. I literally fell on the ground. I was sobbing and in tears, and I thought, oh my goodness. I was just complaining to God that he didn't come through. But here's this letter. I don't know how it comes on a Sunday morning, but it came to me, and he opened it up, and it was the visa blockage has been lifted. That was what it was on day 40. And so I was literally shaking at least for a few days after that. And I was like, this is crazy, amazing. Like, what in the world has happened? And my kids were like, mommy, tell us the story again. I said, how many times have I told you guys a story? And God was just reminding me, like, keep telling the story, because it is an amazing story. And I had to do some processing. Did my friend actually have to do the circling around that morning, the day 40, when actually the letter was already in the mail? No. Did I actually have to do a 40-day fast to have this clearance of Grace's visa? No. Did we have to do all these things when God already knew that this was going to happen? Yes, because God said, come and join me. Come and join me in what I'm going to do, because it is a supernatural thing that's going to happen in your midst. No one can go through Homeland Security. We talked to so many immigration lawyers. They said Homeland Security, they have piles and piles of petition requests. There's absolutely no way your friend's going to get it. But we took that risk because God invited us, saying, come and join me. Do you want to experience the supernatural? And I was thinking, my friend is crazy. She has no idea what's going on, but this intercessors are crazy people, okay? And she did it. And none of us take the glory, but we were like, we were part of an amazing thing that God has done for us. I'm going to end with this quote here by Jim Elliot. It says, forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know an extraordinary God. How often we speak and sing of how amazing and extraordinary God is, but we just continue to live our lives the way we want. And today my question is, what kind of life do you want to live? Do you want to have a life that's filled with risk-taking for the kingdom, amazing stories of supernatural things happening, divine appointments and interventions happening all around you? Or do you want to just have an ordinary life, go to work day to day, just live life to be comfortable and secure? Ted and I have chosen to get on that cruise ship. We've every day die to what we think is best for us. And it's been the most exciting journey. And today I want to ask you to come and join me, as I've already joined Jesus on walking on the waves. And today God is saying he's going to give you courage. He's going to pull you out when you fall and sink. And he's equipping us to be strong and courageous. So I'm going to have Elliot come up. We're a little over time, but this song, Raise a Hallelujah, has been just really speaking to me all week. Hallelujah is a universal term across culture, languages, and it literally means God be praised. And this song was birthed just a few weeks ago up in Reading when one of the children, a son, was dying. And this man who wrote this song, as they were praying and interceding for this storm and Jericho wall of death and sickness, this song was birthed in the midst of what's going to happen to the life of this little child. And I realized that as we desire to live a life that says, God, command me to walk on water, and Jesus saying, come and join me, he's also saying it has to end, start and end with a raising of a hallelujah, that despite the storms in life, despite the victories, despite however God wants to lead us, that we choose to raise a hallelujah and God be praised. So let's all rise and let's end our time by singing this song as a declaration over our lives.